We're going to go to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. And we're going to read all the way down through chapter 2 and verse 2. So John, 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now let me just stop there for just a second and ask you, do you have joy today? Do you? I mean, think about it. Do you have joy? I mean, I understand you have problems, and I understand you have difficulties. We got health issues. We've got money issues. We've got a world that seems to have gone crazy. But this is written that our joy may be full. A Christian ought to have joy. And you can have joy regardless of what the world does. You know, we got brothers, you know, we got brothers and sisters in some places whose troubles make ours look like nothing. And they've got the same message we do. This is written that their joy may be full. If we don't have joy, there's a problem. If we don't have the joy of the Lord. Let's read on. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That verse 2 of chapter 2 where it says He is the propitiation for our sins, that word propitiation means the full, complete, total payment. He's done everything necessary to propitiate God the Father in regard to your sins and mine, to the sins of the whole world. To propitiate means to satisfy. To, in other words, you've got a judge there, and Jesus says, this is my blood is the payment for their sins, and God says, it's enough.
That's right.
It's enough. That's what that word propitiation means. I want to call your attention to verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that ought to be something. That ought to be good news to you, whether you're sitting here and you say, I'm a believer in Christ, Or whether you say, preacher, I don't even know sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I don't even know anything about this. But you have a message here from God in God's Word that says that if we will walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, the interesting thing that you need to understand about this passage of Scripture, it is not written to a bunch of unbelievers. It is written to a bunch of people that profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. But interestingly enough, it's very straightforward. He said, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. None. Zero. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So He speaks to these professing believers as if God inspired Him to speak to them as if maybe they weren't believers. And so there's an application here, and this is one of the things that many people never understand about a Bible preaching church. You know, I've had people come to me all the time and they say to me, preacher, you know, you always give the gospel and you always talk about people that are not saved and people not being saved. If there's five people in here and everybody's made a profession, you still do that. Why? I do that very simply because I don't know any, but one, I don't know anybody's heart. And the apostles were inspired by God to preach that way, so I think we ought to preach that way. And you can, and the wonderful thing about the Word of God, you can apply this to a lost person and you can apply it to a saved person. Because when we talk about faith and we talk about repentance, you know, we talk about faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But once we're saved, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we're supposed to walk in Him. How do you receive Him? You look at the church at Ephesus. Jesus said what in the book of Revelations? Repent and do the first works. What did He say to the other churches in the book of Revelation? He said you need to repent. There are times where repentance is necessary in the life of a Christian. And we have to examine ourselves. We're told to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. We're told these things. And we're also told to preach the gospel. And we have a world that sits here today and it says they have this idea of God that sometimes, some way, God is just like them. And maybe you're in here like that tonight. God's just like me. No, He's not. My brother, I witnessed him on several occasions. And I pray that he got saved, but I don't know that he did. But I used to beg him. I used to say, Gary, I said, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ your Savior. He'd say to me, oh, don't worry about me, brother. He said, me and Jesus, we got an understanding. And I would plead with him and I would say to him, I would say, Gary, look, you read the Bible and you know the Bible says that Christ died for the sins of the world and that He's the only Savior. And the Bible clearly says how you're supposed to get saved. And I shared it with him. I said, but you think somehow you're special, that you've got something better than everybody? Oh, don't worry about me. I'll be all right. You know what he was actually saying? Matter of fact, I heard the testimony of another man that said pretty much the same thing not long ago. But you know what they're saying? They're saying God's just like me. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but God, He's a sinner too, because we got an understanding. He's going to let me slide. What you're saying is God's a sinner. If you think God's going to let you into heaven just because, you know, because somehow you're good enough or you're better than somebody else, you've missed it.
That's it.
And the reality is that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the only way, the Bible says, we can be washed from our sins is by the blood of Jesus. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins with His own blood, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. So the light, to walk in the light, the first step of walking in the light is to get saved. It's to trust Christ as your Savior. That is the first step to walking in the light. You can say whatever you want. You can say, well, I've got my own religion, I've got my own ideas, but sooner or later, we're going to find out who's true, aren't we? There's going to come a day when you stand before God, and what are you going to do? You can either take what the Bible says about God, what God reveals about Himself, or you can turn around and you can say, well, I'll just wait till I get there. And isn't it an amazing thing that we have a book that there is no book on the face of the earth that is either more loved or more hated than this one? And did you know that the people that hate this book have all the power in the world as far as worldly things go? And did you know that the people that have the power throughout history have tried to wipe this book from existence? And they have not been able to do it. So when we talk about the Bible being the Word of God, and God preserving His Word, and we don't hold to the new Bible versions, and we stick with that which has been proven.
Amen.
People look at us like somehow that's crazy, but no, it isn't. It's actual sound reasoning. Why would I deny what's written in a book that the devil has not been able to wipe out? And Jesus proved Himself when He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. You know, I don't necessarily know I'm going to be on this earth when heaven and earth pass away. But I can look back in history and I can say, wow, look at this book. Look at what the devil tried to do. Look at the way the heart of man and the wickedness of men and how they tried to wipe it out. And it's still here. We still have it. I think rather than trust how I feel in a given moment, I think I'll trust the Bible.
Amen.
And so what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're lost today, you've been told that you can be saved. But you have to realize that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if you say you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you deny the Word of God and you deny Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you deny that light and you walk in darkness, you're lying. You can lie to yourself, but sooner or later, you're going to have to understand. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I beg you to get saved.
Amen.
Trust Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He gave Himself for you. He shed His blood for you. He paid the penalty for your sins. He proved it that He, because He rose from the dead. That means the penalty is paid in full. And now He's ascended up to heaven, and all things needful now is for Him to come back and judge the world in righteousness. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. And there's the that whole wonderful thing about it. But and these things are, we write unto you that your joy may be full. The whole idea of writing all of this is to make us understand and make us to have fullness of joy. To know that your sins are forgiven. Not hope so. Someday you're going to go to heaven. Maybe I might get in if I'm good enough. No, God wants you to know you're saved.
That's it.
In the same book, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so God wants you to have joy by knowing that your sins are forgiven. But if you're here today and you say, hey, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, once again, where's your joy over your sins being forgiven? Where is it? What happened to it? We ought to be the ones that are shouting and excited and being able to stand by and say that my sins are forgiven, and I know my sins are forgiven. I know what Jesus did. Like the Apostle Paul said, as God inspired him to write these words, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believe. We have that joy. Well, where did the joy go? He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in darkness, we lie and we're not doing the truth. And this is the danger that we have as believers, that we would somehow become self-righteous and feel like, well, I go to church, I do this, I tithe, I give to missions, I do all that. And then we allow something to hang on, some little sin, and gets a foothold. And we don't deal with that sin scripturally. You see, I can't save my soul. That's why I need the Savior. That's why I have to put my faith and trust in Jesus. Nor can I keep my soul. The Bible says I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so the keeping of my soul is the work of God. And neither can I grow without Christ. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches, right? You can't bear fruit on your own. You can't bear fruit on your own. So we look at that and we allow something to come in. We stop walking light. We don't deal with it the way we're supposed to. And the Bible tells us how to deal with it. It tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, many times when I've quoted this verse, people have come, well, that's the Baptist confessional. Just come up there, confess your sins, and you're all done. Well, in effect, yes. But, you know, there's this issue of your heart. There's this issue of walking in the light. You know, sometimes we come, if you come to God and you confess your sin, but you don't want to be changed, you don't want your life to change, you don't want to give up that thing, then we got a problem, because you're not walking in the light. You know, it's like when I was growing up. See, my mama left when I was a year and a half old, and my dad was in the Navy, so I went and lived with Grandma and Grandpa for the better part of my young life. And my grandpa, whenever Grandma would be away, Grandpa would have to watch the kids. And my grandpa had a favorite saying. He'd say, boy, I'm going to wham-wham the devil out of you. And I talked to my Aunt Jessie, who his daughter, she come to me, she said, no, she said, he didn't say wham-wham the devil. She said, whim-wham the devil out of you. I said, well, I don't know about when you grew up, but by the time he got to me, all the whim was gone. It was all wham. So So, but the reality was, sometimes we'd get in there and we'd start running around in the house. Me and my brothers and sisters, we'd run around the house and Grandpa would go and grab a switch. And he'd come up there and he'd say, "You sit down or I'm going to wham wham the devil out of you." And then we'd run in there and we'd sit down, and then as soon as he turns back, he'd go back to reading, and we'd jump up and we'd be running around the house causing trouble. And he'd come over there with that switch and he'd chase us in there, and we'd run into the living room, sit down on the couch and say, I'm sorry, Grandpa, I won't do it again. And he'd be merciful to us. At least that first time, anyway. But as soon as he got settled down, we'd be up and off again. Now, if that's the way you confess your sins to God, you're not doing it right. Lord, please forgive me. But in your heart, you're desiring that which you're asking God to forgive you. You want to continue it. We've got to get to the point where we want what God wants. We desire what God desires. We want to be what God wants us to be. And I don't care how many times you fail. And the wonderful thing about 1 John 1:9 is that it's there, and the wonderful promise is if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All of it. That means you can come and confess to God and you can get right with God and you're ready to get up and serve God now. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But we shouldn't play games with God. You know, we're not the Mardi Gras crowd, you know, that runs around and goes out and gets drunk and parties and everything out on Fat Tuesday, which they do around here, and then get up in the morning and go put a little bit of ash on your head and say you've repented. All the while planning on doing it next year again. Well, if you come to God, if you come to the altar and you confess your sin, or you get in your prayer closet and you confess your sin, but your intent is you want to go do it again, you really don't want to give it up, you don't want to change, well, that's just lying to yourself. God's not fooled. You're just trying to make yourself feel good. But when we walk in the light as He is in the light, when we want darkness to go, and that's our heart's desire, that's when we get the victory. That's when we grow up as Christians. That's when we become what we're supposed to be. Amen. And that is when, just like when somebody comes and they're truly repentant and they want salvation from their sins, they want the salvation of God, and they know that Jesus is their only hope, and they call on Him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful? But it also says, before that, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The two aren't mutually exclusive. They go together. A person that wants to be... that you can't just pray the prayer and not really care about your soul and say, "I'm saved." You have to want to be saved. Just like the Philippian jailer came up to Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Like that Ethiopian eunuch. "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What was Philip's answer to him? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So it's a matter of the heart. But once we're saved and we're children of God and we're trying to grow up in the Lord, we have to carry that same attitude that we had the day we got saved into our Christian life. And when, as we learn and as we grow, we desire that which God wants us to have the same way we want it to be saved. God says it's wrong. I remember a fella came to our church many years ago, and not this church, church that I was in here when I got out of the Navy and came to Mississippi. But I remember his name was Will. I can't remember Will's last name, but Will had hair down to here. And he was walking in there, and he was studying his Bible. And he got saved. He made a profession of faith. He was studying his Bible. And I mean, this is just really a small thing. This is not a terrible thing, a big terrible thing like stealing or lying or murdering or anything like that, that we would consider, oh, these are bad sins, right? But he read in his Bible, he was reading in 1 Corinthians, and he read, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" And you know what he did? He came back to church, his hair was cut. Amen. Now, is a haircut the most important thing in the world? No, there's a lot of things that we could look at that if we talk about growth, that'd be an important thing, but what I'm telling you is, here's a man, which is very rare today, by the way, that just read something in the Bible and said, oh, God says this is a shame, so I need to change. Amen. Wonder what Christianity would be like if we were all that way. Wonder what it would be like. I bet there'd be more people called to preach. I bet there'd be more people called to missions. I bet we'd see people, you know, we got the point now where we're apologizing for preaching things out of the Bible that the Bible says clear.
Amen.
Why? Be honest with you, if you look at a lot of the churches today and you look at a lot of the preachers today, you're finding people that don't believe things like that. Well, that's not important. It was important enough for God to put in the Bible. Are there things that may be more important at a given moment? You know? If I had a fella that, I mean, we had a lady come to church one time that was shacking up with a man, and praise the Lord, she got saved and she left that man that very night. Yet, that's a rare thing to see these days. But if I had some fella said, "I'm shacking up and I'm living in sin, living in fornication, and had long hair," and he'd say, "Which of these should I attend to first?" I'd say, "Well, I think you ought to deal with the shacking up first."
Yes, sir.
But you know, you could always just do them both at once. And that'd be all the problem right there, wouldn't it?
Amen.
You know, I mean, we like to prioritize things, but we need to see things the way God sees it. And when we do that, you know what the result is? Joy. The result is joy. The result is having that peace in your heart, knowing that you're right with God, knowing that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is right. You say, "But preacher, it's so hard. I learn one thing and I try to get that right and I'm struggling with that, then I learn another thing. What am I supposed to do?" Just keep going forward. Just keep confessing your sin. But have a desire to change. You know, I've had some things that I've dealt with before God, and it's been like that. Boom. Pray. I want to quit it. I want to get rid of it. Or I want to do it. And boom, right there. Then I've had other things I've struggled with. And so is every believer. But you know one thing I have found to be absolutely true? No matter how I may personally struggle with some thing, with some sin, with some false idea or whatever the case, if I just simply keep my eyes on this and I say, that's what I want, you know what I get? Victory. I get victory. And that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have the victory. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. And we need to understand something. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You bring me a person here that's lost and he says, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. No, he's lying. He is a sinner. But the sad thing about it is we get to the point where we let other things dwell in us. We give preference to other things than to the Word of God. You know, we're told in Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? Where we get in trouble is when we let other things dwell in us richly. Amen. And the Word of God isn't in us. And that's the thing about it. But what's the whole point of this? What's the whole point of this, what he's writing to them? Well, he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Whatever it is you're struggling with today is covered. Whatever it is you're struggling with today, you're not alone.
That's right.
Whatever it is you're struggling with today, your Savior, the one who bled and shed His blood for you, the one who died for you, the one who suffered for you, is on your side. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins. So our sins have been dealt with. Whether you stand here today and you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I don't know anything about it. Your sins have been paid for. What you need to do is stop thinking you can do something to earn your way to heaven. Put your faith and trust in Christ and believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that your only way to the Father is by Him, and call on Him. And if you're here today and say, oh, preacher, there was a time in my life when my relationship with God was better than it is right now. Essentially, you have the same remedy. You need to stop believing all the lies. Well, I've blown it. I'll never have the victory. Lie. Well, that's for somebody else. You know, that holy living and everything, that's for the preacher. Lie.
Amen.
Those blessings that the Bible talks about, you know, that's for the ultra elite. We're not Catholics here. We don't have saints. You're either a saint or you ain't. You're either saved or you're not. And the promises are not to the elite. It's just the promises are to those that believe God. That's it. And the question is, will we believe God? When God says it's wrong, will we believe Him? When God says it's right, will we believe Him? When God says, come, confess your sins, and I'll cleanse you from your sins, all in righteousness, will we believe Him? That's the question. Let's bow our heads if you would please. Look, I don't know anybody's heart here but my own. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. But let me ask you this question. Do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure? Are you 100% sure? Would you just raise your hand for me please? Just a moment. Just as a testimony. Amen. You can put your hands down. Now, some didn't raise their hands. So you're saying, if I die today, I don't know what's going to happen to me. And God is telling you through the Word that you can know that your sins are forgiven. So you have a decision to make. You're either going to believe God or you're going to believe the way you feel. So the question is, what are you going to do? And it'd be my honor to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. Nobody's going to push you. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. But we just want you to know that God loves you. Jesus died and paid the penalty for your sins, and He offers eternal life as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all you need to do is humble yourself and receive it. And if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but you know, my Christian life's not what it should be." All I want to do is tell you that it can be. It can be. If you'll trust Him. Just like you trusted Him the day you got saved, if you'll trust Him. Brother Donnie, would you come? I'm going to have Brother Donnie come and